Welcome to the tax update for February 2016, in which we look at five items, and as usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes which in themselves contain links should you wish to do further research. But the first commentary really today is about tax avoidance and HMRC and the public attitude, which is clearly hardening towards tax avoidance, but it means for tax practitioners that it can be difficult to decide where the watershed lies between acceptable tax planning and unacceptable, egregious tax avoidance. This is clearly a very unsatisfactory position when set against a background of 22,298 pages of tax legislation and a self-assessment regime. I think there's an urgent need to reform and simplify tax. Next month we'll have a budget which will introduce new criminal offence of tax evasion and tax-geared civil penalties for offshore tax and a criminal offence for corporates failing to prevent tax evasion and new measures for serial tax avoiders and a new penalty of 60% for cases successfully tackled by the General Anti-Abuse Rule. HMRC have published Spotlight 29, which sets out some of the indications that practitioners need to be alert towards in case of tax avoidance schemes. One also has to remember that using a tax avoidance scheme could result in a public hearing and an appeal and a great deal of adverse public reaction should they take offence at the scheme which has been used. I worry that the pendulum has swung too far regarding giving power and penalties to HMRC, and my worries are reinforced by the decision in Usher and Another versus Revenue and Customs, which seemed to me to bear all the hallmarks of the taxpayers who were executors of the late Mr. Guy's estate getting into a guddle. But HMRC felt that they had deliberately submitted an incorrect tax return for the year of death, despite disclosing the correct position in the inheritance tax return. As I said, that appears to me to be the classic of somebody getting into a guddle, especially when you remember that you're dealing with a deceased person's estate and that person cannot correct any oversights that you might have. Much of the estate of $1.5 million went to charity, but the executors had written to HMRC paying the tax which they thought was due, but which was actually inadequate, and writing saying, "I will have to presume this is in full and final settlement as I am now proceeding to finalise and distribute the estate." Despite receiving this, HMRC took 12 months to respond and correctly sought the additional tax of $14,458, but also wanted a penalty of £5,060. Now that was wrong, and HMRC's conduct in this case is actually disgraceful. Fortunately, the tribunal intervened and exercised the discretion available to them under Para 11 of Schedule 24 Finance Act 2007, and a just result has been achieved in that the executors have to bear the tax, but they don't have to pay a penalty. Just a reminder that dispensations will be withdrawn from 5th April, and any employer that hasn't obtained approval notices for the way in which it controls reimbursement of expenses and allowances to employees better act quickly. Not surprisingly, in the case of Mr. Peter Vaines, the first-tier tribunal decision in his favour has been overturned by the upper tribunal, which decided that the €300,000 that Mr. Vaines paid to Bayer Ischb Landesbank, a German bank, to avoid legal proceedings and possible bankruptcy, was not an expense in carrying out his profession as a solicitor in London, but was in fact a personal expense, and this duality of function meant that he couldn't claim to deduct the sum he paid from his profits as a partner in a legal firm. The existence of tax nothings has been criticised for many years, and I think although the decision of the upper tribunal, which is legal precedent, is the correct decision. It shows just how unjust UK tax law can be. But finally, HMRC has published its plans for change by 2020, and I have to confess that I cringed at the aspirations HMRC expressed, which are to be the best in the world by 2020, and comparing this to my experience of their performance to date. I just wish the HMRC could focus on important things like answering the telephone and responding to letters within a reasonable time limit. Thanks very much for listening.